the topic that I want to talk on this morning is called, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Has anybody ever been there before? When you've done everything you know to do, you fasted till you couldn't, you know, breathe anymore, you prayed, you cried. Anybody ever just cried your way through a situation? You've tried to figure it out. When you don't know what to do, there are things that we can do according to God's word to win. And you know, God being such an amazing God makes things easy for us, but we make things hard on ourselves. And so this morning I'm going to give you some, just six things that I've done and how to get through those times when it seems like God just isn't really paying attention to you. And it seems like your circumstances isn't changing. Amen. And so the first thing I'm going to talk about this morning, the number one thing that we have to remember as believers, number one is to step into the anointing of God. That we have got the great I am living on the inside of us. That we've got the power of God that we can call on upon our life. But I think sometimes when we serve God a certain amount of time, we forget that we've got this working power available to us called the anointing. The anointing makes life easier for us. Have you ever been working on a project or trying to figure out this thing that you don't know how to work out and it feels like you're dragging your feet through cement or mud? It's like you're just trying to get through the project and you're trying to figure it out. Life is hard and it seems like the wind is blowing against you and you're just trying to do all you can do to get there. Well, I guarantee you then you're moving in your own ability. And it's in those times when you're trying to work that arm of the flesh and it seems tough that we have to stop. It doesn't mean that what you're going for isn't the will of God. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want that for you. What it means is we've got to stop. And recognize that I am not walking in the anointing to get through this situation. Because it's in that anointing that's going to make life a lot easier. So we literally, it's like putting on the anointing suit. It's like stepping into the anointing veil and calling upon that anointing. I think of it almost like, it's like taking, I don't know, water and throwing it into my future and walking through it. And it makes life happen with so much ease. I remember when I was going through a situation one time, you know, and it seemed like I was dragging through mud. And I remember sitting down and just begin to talk to the Lord and pray. And it was like the anointing of God came down like a wall. It was just so interesting to me. And I remember the Lord said, press through and look what, see what you see. And it was like here I was on this side of life and circumstances and everything going on in the natural. And then there was wall of anointing. And literally in the spirit, I could push myself through. And you ever seen those little pointy things that you can push your face through and you see the implant of your face? That's what I saw in the spirit. Like my face literally went through and I began to see things the way that God wanted me to see them. See, we have to, as believers, when life is going tough, call upon that anointing. We got to stir up the gift of God that is lying on the inside of us. There's a champion, a victory place ready for you in your life when we call upon the anointing of God. The Bible says that the Christ is the anointed one and his anointing. So when life isn't easy, relationship isn't easy, business situation isn't going easy, what am I going to do? I'm really calling upon Christ, the anointed one and his anointing to begin to move with ease in my life. And what happens is when you call on the anointing, you step out of yourself and you step into Jesus. What's happening? We're in ourselves. I'm in my emotions. I'm in my feelings of it. I'm in my disappointment, right? Because life happens and I have forgotten that I've got to get out of myself and I've got to step into the anointing that gives me what I need to complete the task. And God's anointing is available to everyone, amen? Timothy said to stir up the gift of God that lies within you. The anointing is the best kept secret, I think, in our life. That it is a powerful force that God has given us as believers to pull on that anointing so that we can walk in the success and the breakthroughs that we need in our life. And we can't do it without the anointing. In the Old Testament, the Bible talks about they would take the anointing oil and they would anoint a king with oil. And they would actually they'd break the flask and they'd pour the anointing, you know, the oil over them and anoint them as king. Or they would rub the oil on. Well, the Old Testament is an outward expression of the inward working of God. So I don't have to go and take anointing oil, which we do. We do the symbolic oil. I mean, I've used Crisco in my day. Amen. I'll pull it out of the kitchen cupboard. Where's that olive oil? Whatever's greasy, right? Just gotta make a smear, gotta smell. Right? But that symbolically, that's really, we don't have to do that natural. It's an inward working that now I'm stepping into the anointing, which means I'm stepping into Christ's ability. Out of my own ability, and I'm stepping into Christ's ability, saying what I can't handle, the anointing can handle. And where I'm growing weak and getting weary, I can step into His strength in me and walk in the anointing until it gets completed. How many Christians do we know that aren't even in church today or didn't finish a project or maybe quit an opportunity because they got tired and they got wore out because they didn't know how to call on the anointing? The anointing empowers you. It reminds you who you are in Christ. It reminds me that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that I am empowered with ability that the world doesn't have. You have that working anointing on the inside of you. And we've got to remember to stir up what's hard before me is not difficult for God. It's not difficult for the anointing, but it's hard for me. There's going to be resistance come against you. And I want to get ahead of myself, and I won't. I'll wait. So we got to call upon the anointed one. I'm going to give you some things that the anointing does according to the Word of God, all right? The first one, 1 John 2:27. 1 John 2:27 says, "But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him." First thing the anointing does is it teaches you. It teaches you what? Many things. When you're going through life and it's hard and where is God and where's this breakthrough, when I lean on the anointing, it's going to teach me the things that I'm missing in my life. Because maybe I'm walking through cement because some area I'm not trusting God in. It's because the anointing is going to teach me where I'm off with my walk with the Lord, right? It's going to teach me how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Many of us, we just keep running this hard race, don't we? I know it's not working right, and I know I'm not happy, but I just got to keep going on with God. I got to just go, 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 go. No, we have to stop, call upon the anointing, and say, "Anointing, teach me what's going on. Teach me what's going on in me. Is there fears going on in me? Am I lacking faith? And what is going on? Do I not trust my business partner? Or is something skipping a beat? Or do I not need to have this relationship anymore? Should I not be working at this job?" That voice, which is really the Holy Spirit, will begin to teach you the things you need to know. But because we're just busy trying to do it, we don't take time to pull upon the anointing. The anointing never has the ability to teach us. It teaches us all things. It teaches us how to understand some things. Have you ever been in a situation you don't understand? Why isn't this working? Why am I here? How many just don't raise your hand, but you're in your life, you go, "I never imagined I'd be here. I thought life would be different." Well, the anointing will teach you to understand some things. Because it's a revelation. You can't look at your life and look in your own thoughts. Because your emotions are going to see every wrong thing. But the anointing calls you to see things the way God sees them. So when you call upon it, the Holy Spirit begins to teach you how to fix problems. It begins to teach you how to restore relationships that aren't easy to restore. It teaches you how to get around roadblocks. That's what the anointing is there for, many things. The second thing that the anointing does is it gives us wisdom. 1 John 2:20 says, "If you have an anointing from the Holy One, you know all things." Wisdom is this: if you know things that you can't see. So when you walk in the anointing, you're releasing the anointing on the things you don't know and don't see, but God knows and sees. So when you release the anointing on that situation, all of a sudden you begin to see what God sees about it. You have a wisdom and an insight that you can't get with your natural senses. And when you begin to see what God sees through the Spirit, it gets you out of frustration. It gets you out of disappointment. It gets you out of that place where you're ready to just throw in the towel. "God doesn't work for me. And this will never happen. And it's too hard." Yeah, it's hard. But with the anointing, nothing is too hard. Nothing. Nothing is difficult for you when you're in the anointing. You can do crazy things when you receive the anointing on it. Things you're not even talented to do. You can. I've done it. I've done it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. Because I can have the anointed one and the anointing walking with me to do what I need to do and go where I need to go. The anointing goes beyond your education. The anointing goes beyond your pocketbook. The anointing goes beyond your status in life. And you may think, well, I don't know anybody and I got to know big people. The anointing goes beyond that. Because it's Christ and the anointed one who is going to go before you. And make, you ever remember when you ride, well, I used to ride my bike in the old days. I ain't been on a bike in for years. Remember when Bishop talked about bicycles? He bought us kids bicycles for Christmas. I remember mine. It was red and it was called Prairie Flower. I told my mom, I remember. Anyway, you know, and it was like all of a sudden the chain would fall off and a clunk, 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 and you can't even ride any longer. But you got to make sure that that chain, which is the connection process, is oiled so that it rides smoothly and stays on track. And that's the same thing. So what? You're riding your bike and clunk. All of a sudden life stops and it throws you off track and you didn't expect it. Get the anointing back on it. Get the wisdom of God beyond what you can see. If you will learn this in every area of your life, you will always win. I'm talking about in your marriages. I know y'all don't fight. I know. Not in Faith Builders. Couples don't fight in this church. Take this home to your friends. Relationship problems. You have problems with your employer. It's frustrating. It's skipping a beat and it's not good. Release the anointing of God on it to give you a wisdom as to why is this relationship not going the way it should go. The anointing teaches you. And it'll give you a wisdom to know how to do something you've never done before. I was going to share this with Pastor Amy. I didn't get a chance to, but I literally take the anointing so seriously because I believe in the anointing. That I'll be working on a project and learning a new program, and she's learning graphic design and website, and it's way stretching her beyond her normal capacity. And I've done that, and I'll be working on a program, and I'm frustrated because my mind can't connect to it. And I just can't see what needs to be done. I know it's got to work because it works for other people, but I'm just frustrated. I literally step back, and I just say, God, I receive your anointing to complete this task. And I thank you that you give me wisdom for what I can't see, that I'm going to see it, and I'm going to know how to do it. I've done it over broken computer equipment. In the name of Jesus, I release the anointing over this computer. I've done it, haven't I, Pastor Greg? I have done it. I don't know where he's at. I've done it at work. I have prayed that I receive the anointing of God, that it's going to work for me, and I'm going to know where to click and go, because I have to complete this task every time I see something I didn't normally see or know to see. It's like the anointing directed me. Click, click, click. How'd you do that? I don't know. I don't know what I just did. But I know I got to get this job done. And the only way I can do it is to step in the anointing. It works. Whenever you're frustrated with the relationship, take a deep breath. Step in the anointing. Get out of those. When you're not in the anointing, you leave emotions out here. Emotions aren't allowed in the anointing. Because it's not about you. The anointing's not about you. The anointing is about Christ in you. So you can't bring emotions into here, right? So when you step out of that emotion, you begin to see things the way that you're supposed to see things. You're going to begin to understand how to maneuver and how to get around with grace and ease because of the anointing, right? You ever been in a church service where there ain't no anointing and you know it? It's like breaks. But you've been in the presence where there is the anointing. It's ease, isn't it? You get a worship leader who knows the anointing. Man, it's ease getting in the anointing. All your worries go out in the anointing, don't they? All your fears go away in the anointing. All your jealousies, they dissipate in the anointing. Because you die in the anointing. You're stepping out of yourself and you're beginning to direct your life according to the anointing. What's so wonderful is I call anointing of God. Whew. I don't have to go fast and pray, oh, God, I need your anointing. I need, Lord, what's your... No. Draw nigh unto me. I draw nigh. God is the anointed Christ, the anointed one in his anointing. God, I need you. What do you need? What do you need, hon? What do you need, baby? Well, God, there's this really mean person I work with. No, God, I need your anointing, God. I don't understand this season of my life, and I don't understand why it's hard, and I don't understand your timing, but I need your anointing, God, or I'm not going to make it. All of a sudden, I get to sit down on a roller coaster ride. All right, woo-hoo, hands in the air, waving like you just don't care, right? Because now I'm in the anointing and I don't know where we're going, but I'm with Jesus and I know everything's going to be okay. Because I'm in the anointing, right? And that's what happens when you step into the anointing. So you can release the anointing on relationships, on businesses, on schoolwork that you're going through, anything that your children. You're probably running around chasing them with olive oil all over the house. Come here, kid. Just get the spray bottle out, right? Release the anointing. Do you know the Holy Spirit can deal with your child quicker than two of your words can say? Just stick the anointing on them. Do it. Say, get them, anointing. Why? Because the anointing teaches. The anointing gives them wisdom. The anointing gets them out of the flesh. Quit trying to handle things in your own ability. Release the anointing of God and see the favor that's going to come in every area of your life. Amen? Release the anointing over your word time. And I've been mentoring the ladies on Monday night. We've been just having a beautiful time in the Lord. And one lady was just like, I don't really understand the Bible. And I'm like, I know, it's not easy. But when I pray, I open up the Bible and I say, Father, I thank you for an anointing to teach me God's word. Lord, give me that. Every time I read God's word, I call on His anointing and His presence. Lord, show me the hidden. The word says that the word is a mystery. There's hidden mysteries in there. So I need the anointing. Teach me God's word. Give me revelation. Give me insight. How does Bishop get what he gets, for crying out loud? The anointing. And it's available to you because you have Christ in you. He has no respecter of persons. You can be driving home and call on the anointing, and the anointing will be there for you to have wisdom and insight and teach you in your life. Amen? So you can do it for creative ideas. Do you need a creative idea for your businesses or whatever you're in? The anointing will give you ideas beyond your wildest imagination. I was never a creative person by nature. I'm really not. And when I started youth ministry back in the day, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, 15 years ago, I mean, you had to be creative back then because youth ministry was off the charts, wasn't it? It was just like at a whole nother level than it is now. And I would sit down and say, God, you've got to give me creative ideas. This is what I'm called to do, and this is not my realm. I did children's ministry for 7 years. Now I'm called to teenagers. They're scary. I don't understand them. And that was 15 years ago. I was scared of the teenagers. I didn't understand, but I had to call on that anointing to teach me and give me creative ideas. And every time I would sit down, creative idea would just flow. We had the most fun and the most unique. Our youth ministry was known all over the United States. They were coming to us to learn what we were doing. We didn't know. All we knew was the anointing. Kids were getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, delivered of drugs. What are you doing? I don't know. All I know is every week we release the anointing of God over our city. We release the anointing of God over this generation. And it began to draw and create and heal and deliver and free a generation that we didn't know what we were doing. I look back and go, thank God I had His grace and anointing to do it. You know, because I sure as heck didn't know what I was doing, but God does. And you may not know what to do or how to get out of your situation, but God does. And the anointing just positions you where you need to be so that He can make everything okay. Right? All right. The third thing the anointing will do, the anointing talks to you. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, wherever you turn, to the left or to the right. The anointing will talk to you. What do I do? Anointing, what do I do? It'll tell me which way to go, the left or the right. How do I handle this situation? The anointing helps with decisions. Who should I marry? Should I do business with this person? Do I get out of business now or do I stay? Do I leave this disgusting job or do I stay committed? Because thank God you have a job. I mean, really, I've talked to people like, I'm like, oh, what do you do? Oh, well, don't feel bad. Praise God. You got a paycheck and you got a job. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing wrong with what you do to make your money right now because that is God's favor and there is no shame in that. Amen. So whoever needed that. I'm just teasing. But the anointing will talk to you. I always, you know, give the anointing time. This is how when I make decisions, I do it this way. I give it a time test. Don't be in a hurry with God. Don't be in a hurry for things to change. Don't be in a hurry for development. It takes time. No, T.D. Jakes is one of my favorite songs that he preached. He sang one day while he preached. I don't know who sings it originally, but the song goes, "Slow down, baby, you're moving too fast. You got your hands in the air and your foot on the gas. You're too busy running from, you can't see your future because you're too busy running from your past. You better slow down, baby, you're moving too fast." We got to slow down. When it comes to breakthrough, trust the anointing. Give it time. So I give it the time measurement. I give it the word test. Does it line up with the word of God for your breakthrough? And the third thing I do is I present it to a mentor if I'm confused, and I go to someone that I trust in my life. But the anointing will talk to you. It'll tell you which way to go and what to do. All right, number four. 1, 2, 3, 4. The anointing refreshes you. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, "Those that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint." And we're going to talk here in a little bit, if I have time, on the weary stages of our life. And the anointing will refresh you when you're tired. It renews you. That word renew means again or brand new. It means renovation or restoration. You're going to get tired in your journey. You're going to get wore out because you're going to have disappointments and you're going to have bumps in the road. And that's what makes us tired. We carry those disappointments with us, don't we? We carry all these things and we grow tired. But when we call on the anointing, it refreshes us. It gives us a new strength to go again. Have you ever felt like, God, if you don't do this now, I can't wait any longer? I mean, really, you're like, I can't wait any longer. But then the anointing comes and you go, okay, let's do it again. And then you get to the end of that road, you go, God, this time I mean it. I can't wait any longer. It's awful. Life is horrible. I can't do it. And you know the anointing because, you know, we got to live in the anointing. And okay. And you realize, wow, I didn't know I had that much strength or capability to get through the situation and trust God and learn from the situation. You realize your own strength and capacity, that you can handle more than you think you can. And you're going to realize your faith in God, and you're going to realize your capacity to trust Him when you're in these times where you go, I can't wait any longer. And it's in those times where you go, I can't wait any longer, that most people don't. And they bail ship, or they settle. And they never know what God had for them because they got weary. And they said, I can't wait any longer. Well, you can with the anointing. You just have to call on it. You can do it, and you can run the race, and you can finish it to completion, and you can meet that target because the Word says so. In Titus 3:5, you don't have it, but it says there's a renewing of the Holy Spirit that comes in us. Psalms 103 says that He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I declare that verse every day of my life, that my youth is renewed like the eagles. That God, I am going to have the strength of a teenager until you come, and I'm going to have longevity for the course because there's so much I want to do in my life. There's still so much I want to do for the kingdom of God that I have to have the strength of God. And that can only come through the anointing of our life. You want to feel 20 again? I know y'all do. Call on the anointing. Call on the anointing to refresh your heart, give you the strength, give you the endurance to do what you desire to do in your life. It's never too late to call upon that anointing. Amen. All right, number five, am I on? Number five, this is one of my favorite ones. The anointing will validate you. I want you to open up your Bibles to Luke 3:21-22. You know, we've heard the scripture verse probably many times, but something just jumped out at me when I read this one day. It says, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open, the Holy Spirit, or the anointing, descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said," being his Father, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now I thought about that and I thought, wait a minute. Jesus has done nothing for his Father yet. But what did his Father say to him? "You are my Son, and I am well pleased with you." If you never do a sign, a miracle, or whatever, even though God knew his Son was going to finish the course, the anointed validated Jesus that "You are my Son, and I am pleased with you." The anointing makes you go, "I'm okay with God." And bishops taught how many sessions on this about grace. But when you are out of the anointing, you don't feel worthy for the course. You feel disappointment. You feel like maybe you're not doing something right, like maybe God, you're not praying right, or you're just not spiritual enough. But when you step into the anointing, you go, no, I am a daughter of the King, and I am a son of the Most High God. And you can only feel that validation really on the depths of you until you come in the anointing. I can't feel it out here because everything in my world is telling me how awful I am. Everything in my world is, my past is screaming at me. People are telling me, my job is, everything I'm facing in my world tells me I am not His beloved. But when I come into His anointing and I call and I step into Him, I go, I am my beloved and He is mine. His banner over me is love. And I am a daughter of the King. And all of a sudden I'd be going, I can do anything I want because I know who my dad is. I can do anything in this life. And it validates me that I am special. And I am important. And I am anointed to finish the goals in my life. I don't care what my life or my past or anybody else has to say. None of that matters when I come into the anointing. Because I'm coming really into the image of who I am in Christ Jesus. And when you've got that anointing and you walk in life with that anointing, people go, what is different about you? How come you don't let that disappointment? How come you're not worried about the economy? How come you tried that business and it failed and you tried another one? Because I walk in the anointing. Because I'm validated. I don't need man's pleasure. I don't need to get the approval of man. I have the approval of my Father God. And I walk in the anointing to finish my course. You are validated today. Outside of the anointing, you don't feel it. Inside the anointing, man, you will be like, why do you think two people can change a nation? One will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. In the anointing. We pull on the anointing. Thank you, Jesus, for the anointing. We would never be able to do anything we're doing in this world and changing lives and people getting saved and healed without the anointing of God. Because the anointing is what is the real deal. It's not us, it's the anointing in us, right? So the anointing validates us. And the last thing that I picked out, I just went ahead with this verse, Luke 4:18. When you begin to, you're validated, now you move, the anointing will cause you to move in miraculous power. When you're in the anointing, look at the things that Jesus said He could do. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the anointing, because He has anointed me. Now that I'm in the anointing, what can I do? I can preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. See what the anointing does? But if we're not walking in the anointing, how can I give it away? If I'm not able to walk in this own for myself, if I can't walk in the own good news to myself, have my own broken hearted healed, walk in liberty for myself. That's what the anointing does. Give sight to the blind. How in the world can I go into the world and expect to give hope away? If I have the anointing, I'm in the anointing, I can give anointing away. Because now I know the anointing. And I know the power of the anointing and what the anointing can do for me. And then you can't wait to tell somebody else. Because you know the power of it. Amen? We've got to pull on the anointing of God. We've got to step outside of ourselves. God is no respecter of persons. When you need Him, you just call on Him. And He will be there for you. All right, number two, once you've stepped into the anointing, the second thing that you're going to do is you're going to release the grace of God. You're going to release God's grace. I know Bishop has talked about this extensively, but I just want to open up to Zechariah 1, verse 16. And talk about, I thought this was very interesting. When God's doing a work in our life and He's trying to perform a miracle and do something big, He'll find out our capacity of what we can handle. Because God will give you what you can handle at your time. And I thought this was interesting because in Zechariah 1:16, He says, I am returning to Jerusalem, which is you. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts. And the surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Now go to that next verse in Zechariah 2, what is it, that second one? 2, 1 and 2. Now a surveyor's line, if anybody knows, is when you're going about to lay construction, a surveyor will go out and begin to measure the area of the ground so they can know how to build on it appropriately. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length. And during this time where you are waiting on God for this breakthrough, he's coming down with the surveyor's line, and he's checking your capacity. And he's checking your growth. Are they ready to handle what's about to happen in their life? Are they at a place of their faith and their capacity? Because when you are walking in faith and you are at this place where you need that breakthrough, you're being stretched to capacity. The word says that they told Israel, throw out your 10 posts as far as you can to the north, south, east, and west. And they were empty. But he said, stretch them out. He says, then I'll fill them with good things. So while we're waiting, we're being stretched. And we don't understand that, but God is enlarging our capacity. And it's when we're in the anointing, we allow the stretching to take place. When we get out of the anointing is where we get discouraged. We don't understand the stretching. But God goes, let me stretch you. Let me enlarge your capacity because you don't know what I'm about to fill it with. And if this is as far as you stretch, then that's as much as I can fill it. And you'll be blessed. And that's a great capacity. But when you want something big and you're going somewhere with God, God's like, come on, I know you got more in you. Stretch out that 10 post. Trust me. I'm coming down and I'm measuring you. My anointing is going to fill what your capacity is. I'm like, stretch me, God, then. If it's big, stretch it. I'll wait while all my little friends are getting their little tents filled. I'll be like, I'm trusting you, Jesus. Right? I'm going to trust you because I have something big in here. I have a dream that's big, and I need a breakthrough, and I need my marriage restored. You don't understand, my children are lost, and my finances are a wreck, but I got a dream, and I got... That's enlarging your capacity. Let that anointing stretch you. It feels good. Because then you begin to do things you never dreamed you could do for the kingdom and for your own personal life. Amen? So let's go on to Zechariah 4:6. This is a story about Zerubbabel. Let me actually go over there because I want to read this to you. Now, we're talking about releasing the grace of God. Now, the grace of God is basically this. It gets the job done for you. God takes care of it for you. So, Zechariah 4, I got to read it from my own Bible. So, he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was trying to break down this mountain. He was trying to do what God called him to do, and he had opposition. He had resistance. He had the enemies coming against him, telling him he couldn't do it. Zerubbabel was very frustrated because he had a plan from God and he couldn't get it done. Anybody ever been there before? And it seems like everything's coming against you. Well, this is Zerubbabel. But he comes down and he tells him, the angel tells him, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Put your name in there. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This mountain is not coming down by your natural ability. It's going to come down by my spirit. And if you're trying to do it in your own ability, I'm not going to let you do it that way. Because I don't want it to be about you. I want it to be about me in you. So God's like, nope, I'm going to hold you back until you realize it's really all about me. Because that's a big mountain. And it's not coming down, Zerubbabel, until you realize I am God. He said, it's not by might. Verse 7, though, get this. He gave Zerubbabel a word. He said, who are you, O great mountain before Zerubbabel? We've got to get to that place, that thing that's so enlarged. How dare you keep coming against me? How dare you keep discouraging me? It's like I'm riding on this treadmill and I keep hitting the same place over and over. Well, I'm done. How dare you, debt, discourage me? How dare you, broken marriage, come against me? Who do you think you are? Don't you know who I am? I am Barb Pruitt, mighty woman of God. You gotta take, that's the anointing. How do you think David faced Goliath? With the anointing. This day, Dick Goliath, I'm gonna cut your head off. I'm gonna use your knife to do it. The birds of the air are gonna eat your carcass, and I'm gonna take your head to the city. And I'm gonna show how good God is. Right? He stepped in the anointing, something greater than David. David could have aimed that sling that way, but the anointing was going to take that stone and knock that giant out because he had already proclaimed the prophetic word of God through the anointing. You got to take the anointing of God. Who are you, mountain? Come against me. Stop the work of God in my life. Fear? Enough. Depression? Enough. Insecurities? Enough. Rejections? Enough. I've got the anointing of God. He says, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstones with shouts of grace, grace to it. You want to get that mountain down? You step in the anointing and you shout grace, grace. That means it's God's ability to get the job done for you. You may have put that mountain there. It may have been your wrong choice. Someone else may have done it for you. But when you're in the anointing and in grace, it doesn't matter. That's the grace of God. The ability to get the job done through Christ and through His grace. I may have surmounted this mountain of debt, but I have grace, grace to get rid of it. I don't deserve that mountain in my life. I may have had a bad marriage that put rejection. Grace, grace. I may have made some wrong decisions, but grace, grace. In and through the anointing. Amen? You've got to have both. Release the grace of God. Hebrews 4:15 says this. Our compassionate high priest, he sympathizes with us because he was tempted. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I don't think I gave you the rest of the verse, but it goes on to say, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Is that right? You guys have your Bibles open. I have it written down. It says, let us come boldly through the throne of grace. How do I come? Through Christ Jesus, the high priest, who already sympathizes with my temptations, every area that I struggled with, right? We know that. Bishop Priest preaches that. But he says, but now because of that, you can come boldly to my throne of grace. That word boldly means this: outspoken, unreserved, freedom of speech, the opposite of a coward and fear. That's someone that's going to have courage to say, I deserve the grace of God. I deserve God to come into my life. I don't have to go to God and beg and crawl through broken glass and wonder if I deserve it and am I worthy. No. I get to come up to that throne and say, remember me, I'm your daughter, God. And because of your blood and because I'm in you, you remember me, God. I'm coming boldly for grace. And God's like, it's about time, man. And watch, you wear yourself out, like, wee, wee, wee. God's like, oh my gosh, how am I going to stop them, you know? Please, slow down. It's like those little kids, you put your hand on them and they're trying to fight at you, can't reach you, you know? God's like, stop. We're fighting God, fighting the wind, and we're tired. And God's like, oh, you got to realize you have grace. You don't have to perform for me. You don't have to work so hard to get the job done. You've got my grace to level that mountain before you. That word boldly means it denotes a divine enablement that comes to the ordinary or unprofessional people, exhibiting spiritual power and authority. Isn't that beautiful? The ordinary people, God empowers you to do more that you can do. We have to learn to come boldly and receive His grace. There's so much on grace that we could talk about, but Bishop hits it so much, so we'll just leave that there. So number one, we step into the anointing. Number two, when we're in the anointing, shout grace, grace. Level that mountain. When that fear comes up, you can't do it, you're not worthy, no. Grace, grace. Own it. Own your thoughts, own your emotions. Get control of them, no. Grace, grace, I'm forgiven, I'm worthy, I'm deserving. Right? That's stepping into His grace. The third thing we have to do in order to what we need to do and we don't know what to do is learn to rest and receive the peace of God. This is the hardest things for Christians to do. We don't know how to rest. It's like we're in quicksand and we're in trouble and you're moving like crazy. You know, in quicksand, what happens? You sink quicker. And as Christians, we feel like we have to just keep going and moving and doing and trying to perform God's word and do all these acts. And God's just like, just rest. Come into my peace. Come into settling that I am God and I am in control. God just wants us to just take our weapons off in His presence. Get out of your suit of armor. We've been talking about that with the women on Monday night. You know, suits of armor is for the field to war. But in God's presence, you don't need to fight God. In His anointing, why do I need any of that? I'm in His anointing. we have to be willing to strip ourselves off and just go before a loving Father and rest. Because when we're resting, we're really saying, I trust you, God. I trust that you're in control of the situation. When we're not resting and we're back out here, we're out of the anointing. God can get the job done so much quicker for you when you rest. And it almost seems backwards to do nothing. Like, I have some friends of mine who are just darling people, just great, great friends, and just recently had lunch with them, and they just want ministry so bad. So they're just doing everything in ministry. And, you know, they've been asking for my mentorship and advice, and I thought, my first advice is going to be stop everything. Do nothing. And that almost seems backwards, doesn't it? But when we're trying to do so much, we're wearing ourselves out, we're not really in the will of God at all. So really, to get somewhere, do nothing. So that I can go back to the beginning and hear God, get refreshed from the anointing, let the anointing teach me, so that I can get out of everything that's not God and get into what is God. Because we try to do so much, and God's like, no, just learn to rest in me. Isaiah 40, verse 28 talks about, we do grow weary. Have you not known and have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. We have to learn to wait on the Lord. He doesn't grow weary. We grow weary. And we want to give up. And we want to quit believing God for the breakthrough, but he doesn't. He says, when those times come, I ask you just to wait on me. That word wait means like, we just, honestly, we don't sit around and do nothing, but you just look with anticipation. Where's the breakthrough coming, God? But you're at a place of rest. It's not like you're pacing, walking, oh my God, when's it going to happen? How's it going to happen? And when is God? And that's not resting. That's not trusting God. When you're really trusting God, you don't care. It's weird. I have been in anxiety thinking I'm trusting God, and I've been at peace, and I'm thinking, whoa, way different. Because when you're really in the peace of God, you're like, whatever. God's got to do it, right? I mean, really, it's really just God waiting on the Lord. There's nothing I can do. I've surrendered. I've let go of the reins because we are control freaks, human nature. I really do have control somewhere. But when you're waiting on the Lord, you let go of the reins. And you're like, wherever this thing goes, God, I trust you. But we fight against that. That word rest means a resting place, a place of stillness, peace, a quiet place, a place to settle down. You know, I asked the Lord years ago, I said, God, what is peace? You know, I just talked to the Lord. I said, God, what is peace? And just as clear as a bell, the Lord said this. He said, peace is silence in a multitude of noise. And then all this can be going on, and I may be in the middle of it, but it's just the peace of God is silent amongst it all. And that's peace. It means I'm not interrupted with all these rattling noises. I'm not interrupted with what's screaming at me in my face now. It's like I'm got to run in that anointing. It's like, what's it, home plate or base? What's safe, you know, when you're safe? First place is safe, is that right? Something like that. The base is safe? Whatever. Safe, whatever, you can't touch me, right? That's the anointing. It's a safe place. You can't touch me. You can't get my emotions now. You can't make me have sleepless nights, right? You can't make me insecure. I'm in the anointing, and I'm at a place of rest. But listen to this. This is so interesting. Verse 12 of 28 says this. This is the rest, Isaiah 28. I don't know if I gave it to John, but it says this. This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. There it is. This is the refreshing. Look at the last part of that. Yet they would not hear. Human nature resists the ability to rest. So that I'm telling you to rest. This is what's going to cause your weariness to go away. Stop trying to do everything. Slow down and rest in me. But they didn't want to hear. Your rest and your peace comes from you making a decision. God cannot come down and lasso you and make you slow down and rest. We have to do that ourselves. And it may look backwards and it may be uncomfortable because you're used to going and doing and problem solving. But sometimes God just wants us to find that place to rest, where we're just fully leaning on and trusting Him. Why does weariness happen in our life? Have you ever thought about that? Why does it happen? 1 Corinthians 16:9, I don't know if I gave it to John, but it says this: "For a great and effective door has opened to me, but there are many adversaries." Why do people get weary? Because a great door is coming, but no, it's not up there. But they, what did it say? "A great and effective door is open to me, but there are many adversaries." The enemy is going to come against you, and he's going to bring every opposition that he can, and it causes us to grow weary. And our peace and our settling has to come only from the quietness of the Holy Spirit and the anointing. Psalms 23:2 says, "He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." That waters means quiet, waters of quietness. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." God is trying to take you to a place of stillness in Him, in His anointing, releasing grace. Remember, now that I've released grace, I've got to learn to rest and have peace in God. Luke 1:79 says, "Guide our feet in the ways of peace." There's a place of peace God wants to take you. I want to share this quick story with you. My mom shared it with me, and I think I've shared it maybe once before. But she said, "This is how I see you, Barb." This is a while ago. She said, "There's a story of this little girl, and she woke up one day, and she said, 'I want a red ladybug.'" Like, she wanted a red ladybug so bad. She was on a mission. So she just got up that morning and she went everywhere looking for a ladybug. She went behind the house and in the mailbox and around the trees and in the meadow. And she looked all day long, all through the city, looked and looked and looked to find what she desired. She looked all day long. She got so tired that she found herself in this meadow, out in this field, in the center of this meadow. She grew so tired, she finally fell asleep. And when she fell asleep and then woke up, as she lifted up her eyes and woke up, along all the tips of the grass were thousands of ladybugs. And it wasn't until she finally found that place of rest that everything she desired came to her, and more than she imagined. When you, faith attracts God, right? Faith moves the hand of God. So when I'm resting, I'm attracting, my faith is like a magnet. It begins to attract over and abundantly what I could think, dream, or imagine. Why am I not attracting that? Because I'm not learning to rest. Learn to sleep at night. Right? I'm going to skip through these quick because I want to get to the last couple. I don't even need to go through a lot of this, but 4, remember that God is with you. Remember that He's with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. I could give you a jillion scripture verses, and I guess I encourage you to read them on your own. I wanted to read this scripture verse. Okay, can I? I want to go back to the rest thing real quick. Put up Hebrews, because this is just the best verses in the world. It really set me free. Hebrews 4 says this: "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest." Isn't that good? So even God, he created, he worked, and then what did he do? He rested. God's saying you'll enter into that same rest when you do what he did. Amen? Okay, so remember that God is with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He said, "As I was with Joshua, Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua." I'll give you these scripture verses. You can study them on your own. Psalms 118:6, Psalms 8:31, 8:37. These are just really good verses to study. John 8:29. Just amazing verses how God not only is with you, but he'll fight the battle for you. Really good stuff. But I want to get to these last two because they're not super spiritual, but I think they're essential in this. What we need to do is, the fifth thing is, learn to be thankful. I know I'm really hot too. I don't know if we can get the AC on, but I'm really hot. Be thankful. Look at your life. Maybe there's a lot you see that you don't like. Take time. and just begin to thank God for the things you do like. Just begin to be thankful for the children you do have, even though they might be crazy. Right? Thank you that I do have a husband who's there, and he may not be everything yet, but he's there. And maybe he provides well. You can find something to be thankful in the thing that you don't think you are. Because the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So you're in the anointing right now, and we have to have a thankful heart. We may not be where we want to be or have what we want to have, but we can sure be thankful for it. I remember just laying, the other day, just laying around my house, and I was like, God, thank you for my beautiful bedroom set. So stupid, but I was so thankful for it. It was so pretty. And thank you for my curtains that a sister blessed me with and came over and hung them up. Like, I just said, so thank you, God. There's some people who don't even have window coverings. And there's women who would put value into just have a window curtain. God, thank you that you took care of me to do that. I could look at everything. I wish I had a bigger house. But thank you, there's windows on this one. Thank you, there's a car in that garage. Because I know a lot of people who aren't able to drive. Thank you, God. It got hit in the parking lot twice, dents everywhere, but thank you for that car. Mine did, that happened. But we have so much we can be thankful for. Maybe you work at McDonald's and you don't like it. Thank you, Jesus, for that McDonald's. But it gives me a paycheck with my name on it. And it isn't where I'm going to be in the rest of my life, but it is where I'm at right now. And thank you, Jesus. Do you see how much more happier life can be when we're thankful? You begin to see life so wonderful and how blessed that you really are in comparison. I remember my teacher taught me this poem, Forgive Me When I Whine, For I Have Two Eyes, The World Is Mine. She went on a bus and met this blind boy. So the whole thing was she met a blind boy. And, you know, when I was little, I'm like, whatever, you know. But now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah, Lord, thank you for the things that I may take advantage of, for granted of in my life. And yet somebody else only wishes they had those things. So we have to have a thankful heart to the Lord. And then he'll just be so blessed. And the last thing I want to hit is, number six, is just learn to laugh again. It's not real spiritual, but it's a lot of fun. The Bible says that laughter is good medicine. And sometimes life takes us just like a whirlwind. And can you ever just remember the last time you really just laughed? I mean, really just went out and laughed. I just encourage you to find a place to laugh in your life. Go hang out with your friends. Rent a funny movie. Be aware to laugh because it will be medicine to your soul. If you want to laugh, hang out with Pastor Amy for an afternoon. She's guaranteed to make you laugh. It's true. We never stop laughing. But it just makes you feel wonderful. It's good medicine to your soul. Find something that will take pleasure in your life and just force yourself to laugh. I remember I got so serious when I was in the ministry. I was 20 years old when we started, and I was just God. I'm all about God, you know. And I forgot how to smile. And I remember someone came to me one time like, you know, we haven't seen you smile in forever. I'm like, I smile all the time. And I realized, no, I had forgotten how to be happy. I did. I forgot how to just laugh. Life took me by surprise and made me so serious so quick that God wants you to enjoy living. Enjoy this life. Enjoy your vacations. Enjoy going to a restaurant. Don't get so over-spiritualized that you just forget to live. God is a God of balance. Do the big spiritual stuff and then laugh and be silly. And then do the big, you know what I'm saying? Fast and pray, sure, but go laugh with your friends too and eat a lot of food and get too full and... You know? Get like a double header. Sneak from one movie to the next. No, don't do that. Pay for it. Pay for it. I did that once. So I'm so convicted. I'm like, let's go in that theater real quick. Okay. Thief. Anyway, did that help you this morning?
Yeah.
Amen. Step in the anointing. The gospel is so easy. Isn't the word of God easy? It's just all about Jesus. Really, the bottom line is just love God. Love yourself and love others. It's just the basis of every teaching. Amen. Let's just close our eyes. Father, we thank you for this time that we have. And Lord, I just want every one of us just to lift your hands real quick. We're going to surrender everything to the Lord right now. Every area that you're hanging on to, we're giving it back to God, and we're going to step in the anointing. I want you to see that veil, that curtain, that just falling down on you. You're stepping in the anointing right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we cast everything at your feet, every fear, every worry. We're done. We're saying to this mountain, grace, grace, Father God. We're saying, God, not what we can do about, but what you're going to do about it in the name of Jesus. Father, I release the anointing over every person in this place right now, God, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, the anointing to purify their minds, their frustrations, their hearts, their areas of abandonment in the name of Jesus. God, they will walk out of this place assured who they are with their heads lifted high and giving you glory. So, Lord, right now, we just throw the things at the Lord right now. Just throw it at him. All your fears, just dust yourself off. Say in the name of Jesus, God, I give this project to you. I give this business to you. I give this relationship to you. Lord, I step out of myself and I step into you. When you receive that anointing, hallelujah. Just receive his anointing. There he is. It's just so easy and so sweet, so loving.